morning, everybody. That was actually good. Ooh, I was prepared to like do that again, but never mind. Impressive. All right. We're continuing on with this series, God Is. And so Jeff last Sunday asked if I wanted to preach, and I love preaching. So I said, you know, I'd love to. And he asked me, he said, pray about it and just see what the Lord wants. It's going to get better, I swear. Last week he really laid upon my heart that God is supreme. And so that's what, you know, we're going to talk about, how God is supreme. I remember last week Lori announced that we had the opportunity to help a homeless lady get a home. And that's awesome, because a lot of the youth and a lot of you stepped up and we did that. You know that there's a homeless lady in a home now because of you. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen? We're doing the Lord's work, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the youth. I'm proud of Vicky and Carol. I'm proud of Lori and the many others that came and helped. But, nothing shows that God is more supreme than whenever someone who has nothing is now given everything without expecting anything in return. And so that's good, and I'm really excited about that. And so this whole week, you've seen this, witnessing God working through youth and God working through me and through Lori. I just, you know, got real excited about what I'm going to talk about. And so while I was working and painting trim is of the devil. I hate it. I hate laying tape. It's the world's worst job. If you hate me, ask me to do that, okay? I hate that. But I was doing that, and I was thinking, man, what can I write? Can I talk about this, about God, how he's supreme, and this? And I had my whole sermon written, and last night I was getting it ready. I was topping it up, getting the PowerPoint ready, getting the sermon insert ready. And about 9:30 last night, God said, all that you have, and I just felt this, all that you've written, throw it away. It's over. Done. And so right now I am terrified, because I deleted 7 pages worth of stuff, and this is what I got right now. So I'm so scared right now. I'm terrified. Like, my hands are shaking, my heart's beating, my face is red as usual. And so right now let's just pray a little bit and then help me, because I'm terrified. And so let's just go to God real quick, and then let's just jump into this. So will you pray with me? God, I thank you, God. I thank you so much just for this honor and this ability, God. I ask that you just, that the Spirit move inside of me and in this place, God, that I get out of the way and that I allow you, I allow the risen King, the Savior of the world to speak through me. Lord, I ask that as we read the scriptures that the Holy Spirit wrote, Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit bring them to life in us right here in this moment, God. Lord, help me step out of the way. Lord, calm my nerves. Help me realize that you are supreme, God. That you are amazing, God. That there is nothing like you. There is nothing that can ever, ever challenge your throne, God. That you are up there and you are good and you love me. And you love us, God. And Lord, I ask that you press that into our lives. How we need to recognize who you are and what you are, God. So that we may live lives that you've called us to live. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I have two different passages that we're going to look at. So if you don't mind, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And then after you get that, hold it with like your finger, your thumb, your tongue, I don't care. And then go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, so reading out of Colossians 1:15. The Son, some other versions say he, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. All right, go down now to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, like I said, last night, about 9:30, I had everything planned out. I thought I was good to go. For those of you, like, people that know me, if I get it done by 9:30 the night before, like, it's going good. And so I was all excited. You know, I was kind of just in my office, just making sure things are right about to print out the inserts. And then I just felt this disgust in my message. Just reading through it, I felt disgusted. It honestly felt like I sinned. And the reason I can say that is because the term sin means to miss the mark. And so I was looking at my sermon. I was looking at what was written, what I wrote through my own flesh and my own blood. And I saw disgust. I saw how I missed the mark. Because it honestly, look, it reeked of arrogance. It reeked of me. It honestly was me standing up here trying to show off and flex my metaphorical muscles on how I know the Bible and I know how God is supreme and I can use scripture and I can use this and I can, you know, exegetically just look at this and that. And honestly, it was dead. It was dead. It reeked of me. It reeked of lifelessness and selfishness. And so, and honestly, I just reading through it again this morning, I was like, that's, and it was terrible. And so, I mean, it's deleted now. Thank God for the backspace button. And so at around 9:30, after I felt this way, I was just like, well, God, what do I do now? I have nothing. And so then I began to think, man, what am I able to do on Sunday morning? You know, I have the honor of being, of holding the pulpit. I have the honor of preaching to you. I have the honor of talking about God's word and his working in my life and in your life. I have that opportunity and it's an honor, right, Clayton? It's an honor. It's amazing. And so I began to think about that. And then I began to think, well, you know, the whole purpose of this is to talk about Jesus. I mean, that's the whole point of life is Jesus, is to talk about this God who not only loved us from afar, but sent his son to come to us, to live like us, to live among us, but to live blameless and die on our behalf and take the wrath that we deserved. And he gave us the glory that we didn't. That's what I get to talk about. And so you think your job's good, you know, it's cool, but my job's better. And so I'm excited about that. And I began to think about that. And then I began to think about what Peter and John said before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, and how they were bold and how they healed a guy that didn't have legs. They gave him legs. The Spirit gave him legs. And the Sanhedrin brought them before and said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this in the name of Jesus? And I love Peter's reply in Acts 4:20. And it says, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And so, that's honestly, today, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to talk to you about this Jesus, this God that I've seen, and this God that I've heard. You know, I've never seen the physical Jesus. I've never really heard like a James Earl Jones voice like Jordan. But I'd love to, but I've seen him through you. I've seen Jesus through the youth and through the college kids. I've seen Jesus through the seasoned adults, as Jeff says, and how they love me regardless of how many college words I use up here or how many different ways I mess up. I've seen Jesus in you. I've heard Jesus just through the voices of worship, through just your great acts of kindness, through speaking great things to me. I've seen that. And so today I just want to tell you about that. And I don't think that I'm steering away from this God is theme. In the Christian tradition, many of you are this. If you're not, the Christian tradition believes in the Trinitarian God, the God that is three into one, the Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And so today I want to talk about Jesus because Jesus is God. Amen. Can y'all repeat that? Jesus is God. Ooh, this is going to be good. and so today I'm just going to talk to you about Jesus. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. And going along with Jesus is God, I want to say Jesus is an exact representation of God. If you read in Hebrews 1, 3 through 4, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And so I want to talk to you about Jesus. I want to talk to you about the supremacy of his being, the supremacy of who he is. And then going back and just plugging that in and just seeing who God is, who Christ is through Colossians 1. It starts off, the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is the physical, tangible being of a thing that we can't see, a thing too far above our comprehension that we cannot grasp. Jesus is that. The Spirit lets us see that, but Jesus is the physical, tangible being that is God. He's the firstborn over all creation. That means He is. Like, He doesn't have a beginning and an end. We as finite creatures, we have this starting point and this end point, birth and death. And in this thing in between called time, this thing that progresses at a rate that we can't stop. And it's kind of crazy because when we're younger, you remember when you're young and you're like 4 years old and you're like, man, I want to grow up. And you're like, yeah, I want to be fast. And you want to grow up real fast. And then when you get older, you're like, whoa, can this slow down, you know? And a lot of us try to slow the aging process by wearing clothes that we shouldn't wear, like celebrating our 29th birthday 6 or 7 times. And so, but God is above that. God is above that. God, he isn't getting older. He isn't younger than he was before. God is. He transcends that. He is the same now, and he will be the same 400,000 years from now. He's the same 400,000 years ago, this and that. He is the same. He is the firstborn, and he is there. And then going on, verse 16, for in him all things were created. He was there at the beginning of creation. I mean, look at John chapter 1. And it says the Word became flesh, and it talked about just logos, how the Word was, God was. He was there. Christ was there. Things were created through Christ. And we'll go on and we'll talk about that here in a second, about how it was made for Christ. But he made the things in heaven. He made the angels. He made the streets of gold and this and that. I can't really talk about heaven too much because, I mean, I've never been there. So you're going to have to just take my word for that. But he created the things on earth. He created the mountains. And the thing is, if you create something, that means you're superior over that, that you have supremacy over that. So he has supremacy of Mount Everest, roughly 28,000 feet up above sea level. He has supremacy over the Marianas Trenches, like 36 or 34,000 feet below the surface. God is supreme over all that. He's supreme over the moon. He's supreme over all the stars. They don't shine unless he allows them to shine. The grass doesn't grow unless God allows it to grow. And that's exactly who God is, who Christ is. He is the maker of all. He makes all things visible, and he makes all things invisible. The things that we can't see. He as it says in Romans 13, he created. He allows the rulers to rule. He allows authority to have authority on this earth. And so when it comes November, let's make sure we remember that. That Christ is supreme, whether this guy gets elected or this guy gets elected. Amen. And so just moving on, all things have been created through him and for him. I mean, everything is created for him. It should change the way you think, that you were created for Jesus, that you were created to celebrate this supreme being, this being who owes nobody anything, but still loves us. That he wants us to just praise him and give him the thanks. He is before all things. That means he's the first. He is the premier. He is the top. He's the top of the line. He's the best. And through him, all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of this organic being. This thing that lives and breathes and moves. That goes out and gives a homeless lady a home. That goes out and feeds the hungry. Clothes those who don't have clothing. He is the head of that. And I'm proud to say I serve a church that allows him to be the head of that. But he is the head of that. He is the beginning. And the firstborn among the dead. What that means is that he is the beginning. That life comes from him. And that we can conquer death because he conquered it before us. And in all of this is like this. So that he might have supremacy. I love what Abraham Kuyper, I believe he's a Swedish theologian. I think he's actually the prime government or prime minister or something like that. I love what he said. He said, in the total expanse of human life, there is not a single square inch of the Christ, or of which the Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare, that is mine. There's not a single square inch of your dirty past that you want to forget that Christ doesn't say, hey, that's okay, this is mine, I'll take care of it. There's not a single thing that of you that Christ doesn't say, this is mine. Christ declares that he is sovereign over it all. And so, you know, I can just go on and on and on. But there is a clip that we're about to show. It's from Dr. Lockridge. He preaches a lot more enthusiastically than I do. And you'll see that. But I want you to just hear his take on Jesus. So, Lee, can you play that for us?
Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Lockridge says some pretty profound things in there. I mean, it's kind of funny. He's describing Jesus for 2-3 minutes, and he's like, I wish I could describe him. But that's the truth about God, is I could talk about him for 10,000 years, and I will still be infinitely short of who he truly is. But the most profound thing out of all of that, and he said it 5 or 6 times, is I wonder, do you know him? I wonder, do you know him? And to me, that's honestly the key to this whole series, God is. I can sit here and I can tell you for days that God is powerful. And God is, he is the creator. God is the provider. God is supreme. But if you don't know him, you don't have a relationship with him, those are just words coming out of my mouth. It's useless. It is futile. It's worth nothing. Carries no weight. unless you experience him. And I can tell you day in and day out about how Jesus has saved me and how Jesus brought me from a pit in Iowa in 2007 that I've never, ever, ever fallen back into, because he is amazing and his grace is sufficient. And I can tell you about that all day, every day. I can just scream it and I can just do it. But the thing is if you do not have a relationship with him, this is pointless. This is useless. I love what Francis Chan says. And he says, what is the point of all of this? What is the point of going to church? What is the point of singing songs, listening to a dude with his face all red, screaming about Jesus? What is the point of this if it's not going to change you? What is the point of it? It honestly, it looks kind of stupid if you're going to sit there and go through all this and you're going to walk in one way and walk out the same exact way. What's the point of it? And so, I just really want to talk to you about my God and how he did change me. And how the first time that I truly experienced him, I was changed. And that's key. That's the key that I'm trying to get with this whole service, this whole sermon, is that when you experience God, you can change, because he is the only thing that can truly change a sinner. These self-help books, Oprah, you know, Dr. Phil, whatever, they can't do anything. But guess what? My God can. My God, he can take trash and make it into treasure. He can take a lowly pauper and make it into a prince. He can take anything and make it into whatever he wills. Why? Because he is supreme. He is above all and through all. And I just kind of want to talk about listening but not doing, kind of going off in James. But a couple weeks ago, I got the opportunity to go home and hang out with my parents for 10 days. And like most parents, they put me to work. You know, it's my day off, and they put me in a wood shop. But one night I couldn't sleep, and I did what most teenagers do, or most college age kids do, and when they can't sleep, they go turn on television, because that makes you fall asleep, apparently. And so I went and turned on the television, and somehow I got on this televangelist channel, and this guy was just preaching, and he was trying to raise funds for something. I couldn't figure it out. It was super shady. And he was just talking about how we need $6 million for this. We need $6 million. And if you donate $1, God's going to bless you with three. And if you pray for this, God's going to bless you with three. And it's just this threefold promise. And he just kept going on about that. And I was just kind of like, okay. Like, maybe, I don't know why I was watching, honestly. Maybe, like, you know, pointers and what not to say. But then he started to say, and if you have faith in Jesus, you can be healed. And I was like, okay. All right, maybe we got something going here. And he just said, man, if you believe Jesus with your whole heart and everything that you have, you will be made whole. Any infirmity you have, any bodily dysfunction or misform will be healed, and you will be healed and saved. And I was like, okay, this is good. Then the dude like brought up his other hand, and there wasn't a hand there. He had one hand. And I was just kind of like, this dude's saying that if you have faith, you can be made whole again. But this dude has one arm. Like, I don't follow this. And then it reminded me of a story that my friend Raymond tells about penguins. And so when Jeff comes back, please don't tell him that my sermon is about televangelists and penguins. But here's a story about penguins. And this is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm saying this. But the story goes that there was these penguins. And these penguins went to penguin church. And then there's a penguin preacher. Kirby, stop laughing. It's not making it easy. And these penguins went to penguin church, and this penguin preacher, he's known for being a good preacher. He just bringing the word. And so church was getting exciting, you know. They were like clapping their wings or fins. I don't know what they are. But they were getting excited. They were having fun. And they were getting there all clapping. And then the preacher gets up and starts preaching. He says, with Jesus, with faith in Jesus, we can fly. And we can have wings like eagles. And we can just soar around and do this and do that. And we can fly. And he just kept saying that. Through Jesus, we can fly. And there's penguins dancing. And it was quite a spectacle. And then after this, people were just screaming, oh, through Jesus we can fly, through Jesus we can fly, we can fly, we can fly. And the preacher's like, yeah, with Jesus you can fly. And then after the service about how with Jesus you can fly, the penguins walked home. And it's just kind of like, man, that story was stupid. But, and I was like, this dude got animated for something stupid. But I just want to say, how are we different than the penguins? We sing songs that say that he is stronger that He is stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. We say things like, Jesus paid it all. Or, Lord, now indeed I find that power in Thine alone can change the leopard's spots and melt the heart of stone. Dr. Gorian, he's a Eastern Orthodox theologian. And he says you can tell a church's belief by the songs that they sing. And so does it make sense that we sing songs about how Jesus is powerful and we sing songs about how He can move mountains and how He can save a wretch like me. But then we leave this place and we find our God in our TV and in our money and our Dallas Cowboys. And if your God's Dallas Cowboys, God bless you. And I know I love the Cowboys. It's been disappointing. But I mean, as silly as a stupid like story about penguins or a televangelist, I mean, what's the difference between them and myself when I sit there and I go and try to find my joy in other things? When I go and try to find my joy on the internet, or go and try to find my joy in my friends, or find my joy in sports? That doesn't make sense. I might as well be a penguin screaming about how I can fly and walking around. It doesn't make any sense at all. And so I want to tell you that when you experience Christ, when you truly experience Him and become changed and see God for who He truly is and that is supreme, it changes everything else. The knowledge that God is supreme, that He is sovereign over all, that nothing moves without His allowing, that nothing is without His letting it be there. It's foundational. It's foundational. Why? Because it affects every aspect of my life. When I realize that God is supreme, it changes my perspective. I can look, because I'm just going to be real. I don't know why the Lord's leading me to say this, but I have a huge problem with the way that I look. My self-image, the way that I am. I look in the mirror almost every day and I have to fight to love the reflection. I have to do that every single day. But the thing is God is supreme, and God is more supreme than what I think that reflection tells about me. God is more supreme than any problem that I have in my life, be it money or relationships or lack of relationships or friendships. God is supreme over that. And so I see these problems. I see this pain in my life, but I can look at it and say, you know what? That is there, and that is a valid, valid thing. But my God is bigger. My God is stronger. My God is bigger than that. And so it gives me this hope. It gives me this hope knowing that, hey, I might not be able to pay the bills this month, but it's okay because I have something greater out there, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have this hope that transcends anything else that I could ever, ever attain. And that is Jesus. It changes our perspective. And it allows us to submit to Him, which is a big thing. I'm not sitting here. Please don't think I'm preaching the prosperity gospel. That is a bunch of garbage. The prosperity gospel is the gospel that preaches that if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to drive a BMW, your wife's going to love you, your kids are going to say, oh, Dad, you're so swell, and you're great and you're grand. They're never going to cuss. They're never going to be upset. And they're always going to flush the toilet. The boys are going to, you know, make sure the lid's up. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that with Christ, it changes your perspective. And knowing that He is supreme, knowing that He is above all, that He is bigger than any president that we could have ever elected, He is bigger than any power on this earth, we realize, hey, if I submit to Him, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. If I give Him my all and I submit to Him, I'm going to be okay. And I just want to give you a warning that I've learned through my own experience that whenever I truly submit to Christ, sometimes it's a long, long, hard road. And that's good. That sounds weird that someone says that, but that's good. You know, it's not always the solution to my problems isn't always just the straight beeline right to it. But sometimes it's this road that takes me over here and takes me down in some valleys, and then hits me on a mountaintop, then takes me down into valleys, into more valleys. And the thing is God's using this long road to sharpen me, to make me into something that I wasn't before, to grind me down, to chisel me, and mold me and shape me with His hands through His love, and to create in me, like Carlene said, so that I might be an imitation of the Lord God Almighty. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say here. You know, we read in Romans that it says he works for the good of those who love him. And it's not because they love him. I mean, it is because they love him, but also because they love him and they know him and they submit to him. They allow him to work through them. And that's the good life. The good life isn't necessarily having the biggest house, the most respectful kids, the cleanest looking attire. But the good life is a life that is lived for the Lord. And so I have a question, and I want to end with this. Do you know God? And if you do, and you think he's supreme, are you submitting to him? Are you giving him what he deserves? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for you and your ability, God. Lord, I ask that the words spoken up here, Lord, as whatever they may be, Lord, I ask that you move in them, God. I thank you just so much for who you are, God, and just the power that you've given us to become more than conquerors, as it says in Scripture, so that we might overcome, so that we might on the last day be able to say, I gave it all to God. God, I ask that you just move in us. Lord, I ask that you make it real. Lord, I ask that you stir in our hearts. What is the point of all this if we're not going to let it change you? What is the point of doing this if I'm going to stay the same? God, I just thank you so much. I ask that you move here and now. Just show us who you are, your supremacy, your love. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, during the last song, if y'all want to come to the altar, pray, grab me, pray, grab Billy. I'm sure he'll be okay with that to pray. But do you know him? And here's an opportunity. Just seek him and you will find him. So will y'all please stand as we sing our last song. And just give it to him.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the sea to the Lord all the earth.
Shout to the Lord. Here we go.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound.
Nothing compares to the promise that we have in Christ. Amen. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Y'all have a great week. And God bless.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let it sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down. Seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Yes, nothing compares to the promise I have. Yeah.